Let's just all stand. Let's just worship him again.
And we worship you. We give our lives to you.
Sing, I worship you, Almighty God. There's none like you.
I worship you, Almighty God,
for there is none.
There is none like you.
Yes, Lord.
I worship you, O Prince of Peace. And that is what I long to do. I give you praise, for you are my righteousness. I worship you, Almighty God, and there is none like you.
Amen. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your presence tonight. We thank you, Lord, that you are a mighty God. Lord, not because of what we've read in the Bible, Lord, but because of what we've witnessed you do in our lives, Lord. Not yesterday, Lord, but today, Lord, you are a mighty God today, right now, Lord. I've seen it today. I will see it tonight because your presence is here, Lord, and you're not here in vanity and purposelessness. You're here, Lord, mighty to save. You are a mighty God. The Lord reigns, and when you reign, Lord, you reign in power, Lord. You are mighty, Lord, to save, mighty to deliver, mighty to feed us, Lord, to lead us in green pastures, to lead us beside those still waters, Lord, in peace, Lord, that we may drink, Lord, from that river of life, Lord, to restore our very souls. We thank you, Father, for this, and we rejoice, Lord. We commit this service into your hands. We commit each one into your hands, Lord. We thank you for this time that we have, Lord. We covet this time, Lord, because we want to come closer to you, Lord, and come up higher, Lord. Take us, Father, despite these fleshly bodies, despite, Lord, all unbelief that would surround us, despite any work of the enemy that would try to come against us, Lord, we come, Lord, for our victory. We come for our daily bread, Lord. We thank you, Father, that it is for us, Lord. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Praise God. You may be seated this evening. Thank you, musicians. Appreciate you all so much. Love the worship and the just, it's so wonderful to be in the house of the Lord, isn't it? It's so good just to be with you all, to be with the Lord that's in you all. You know, when you're with friends, how many have good friends that don't know the Lord, and yet you're not with the presence of the Lord? So you're always feeling that little bit of uncomfort because they don't have the comforter yet. And you just want to pass it on so bad, Brother Ron, right? You just want to say, if you could just have this. And to be able to be with a body where every joint supplieth, that God, through me, can meet your need. Through Philip, through Matthew, through Christian, can meet your need. What a neat thing. It's more than a neat thing. It's exactly what we need. We need each other, don't we? Amen. Praise God. I'm so glad to have Bethany here tonight. We don't have the kiddos, and our routine is that I go off and Bethany stays home and puts the kids to bed early, especially Isaac. And so I'm driving away and I'm saying goodbye, and I'm looking at Bethany saying goodbye, and I'm thinking, wait, we don't have any kids. I was like, Bethany, we don't have any kids. She's like, let's go to church. So that's our moment of normalcy kicking in so much that we're just, even when we can both go to church, it's just like, goodbye. So it's amazing how we can get so in a rut. And I'm sure we've all had those times like that. So just want to thank the Lord for just what he's doing this week. All we have to do is look for him and to yield to him and say, Lord, just my prayer has been, Lord, what do you want to do today through me? Get me out of the way, please. Amen. Get me out of the way. What do you want to do today through me? And I don't know if for those that didn't see the signal, it's the ache of our hearts. We see everybody every day. It could be our children. It could be our neighbors. And we say hi, and we're like, the kingdom of God is for you. Here it is. It's right here for you, right in front of you. Like, we want to just give it to them. And there they go, smoking or drinking. And you just, oh, that would save them $8,000 a year in cigarettes. That would save them $5,000 a year in alcohol. That would save them anxiety pills. And you just want that word fitly spoken. You want the Lord to just give one word. And yet we wait, because what can we say, right? We can't say anything. We'll just get in the way, which the Lord's taught me something today. Doing God a service without it being his will. I've been thinking about that. Well, thankfully, praise God, even though it's been me many times, Brother Don, it wasn't me today. And it was in a natural sense. How many times have you ever had help that you didn't need? Anybody? You had help, and God blessed that person that gave you help that you didn't need, and it actually was an obstacle to helping you. Right? It got in the way. So at work today, this is online, so I never want to incriminate anybody at my work just in case they happen to watch. But there's some wonderful people at work that, whether it be, they say, here, let me help you, and they'll just block my aisles with pallets. And they say, oh, here, I'm giving you something that you need. Here you go. And I'm saying, I don't want that anywhere near me. Now it's going to take me a half an hour longer. And even today, the whole dock turned into a big mess because of we needed help. And the person that gave us help gave us the help they wanted to give. It was their will. And so it actually gave us more work. And yet they're such a wonderful person, and a Christian and a dear friend of mine at work. And yet they gave us help that we didn't need and started taking away things that we did need. And it was in that moment, Brother Don, I was thinking, this is what I've been trying to be. I've been puzzling over doing God a service without it being his will for so many years. And I'm like, that is me when I'm like, Lord, I know what you want me to do. Here I go. This is what you want me to do. And he's like, no, you're messing things up right now. This is not what I want you to be quiet. Don't talk to that person. I'm working on their heart. Don't spill. I know this has happened one time where the Lord said, don't spill the beans. I'm working on them. I don't need you to tell them what you heard me tell you about it. Don't spill the beans. So it's that word fitly spoken, right? To be able to have that. And so, Tuesday, one of our loads, depot loads in for liquor actually comes in, and which is really hard for me to do. I didn't really want to deal with liquor at all. And I was like, oh Lord, you know, why am I having to do this? But here I am witnessing to the gentleman that does our liquor loads. And it came out of just one question, and I didn't even think to say it. And that was just so neat. It was, he was just, I mean, this has been a year. I've seen him just, and he'll just lean against the counter on his phone while we make mad dashes around and make sure everything is there, because there's probably about $30,000 worth of wine and liquor and whatnot on multiple pallets, and we have to make sure it's the right thing and everything. And so he'll just sit there, and it just popped into my mouth, and I said, what's the meaning? I'll call him Bill. Bill, what's the meaning of life? And I'm like, as it comes, escapes my mouth, I'm thinking, I don't have time to ask him this. I have to do all this. I was the only one on the dock, and what can I do? And so I said, what's the meaning of life? And he goes, boy, I don't know. Just get a paycheck and go home and retire and then die, I guess. Said, and all of a sudden I just started witnessing to him. And as I was explaining to Bethany, I was like, this is taking a really long time to tell you. Whereas it took hardly any time to explain. Inside of 2 minutes, I got in the new birth. A pardon is not a pardon unless it's accepted as a pardon. How God shut the door to the ark, and they had to either get on the boat or not. And just as I'm saying that part, because I always let people in the receiving door because we're not open yet. And someone rushes to the door and said, oh, I wanted to get in the door before it closed, because it's actually locked. We have to push the button. And so for the David likes that, I said, Bill, did you hear that? And he says, what? I said, he just said, I want to get in the door before it is closed. He goes, wow, he works in mysterious ways. So it was just that one interaction. And I said, Lord, I just kept saying, Lord, is there anything else you want me to say? I'm ready to pray with him right now. Whatever you want me to do. Do you want me to say, would you like to do that right now? I was just ready. I didn't hear anything else. And it was like, this is what you need to do right now for now. And I think that's like they call it in worldly terms, don't kill the sale. So many times it's just like, okay, word fitly spoken, one water planteth, another watereth, and God gives the increase. And that's exactly what he needed for that day. Whereas before I would have just really just gone to town. And I've had people be like, you know, on the plane where they're saying, you know, it's really good that you're telling me about this, but you really need to stop. You know, I get what you're saying. It's just not for me. And I'm like, okay, I finally stop, because I just want so much, as we all do, to bring people to Jesus, and not to Stephen, and not to each one of us. And so, but that was a really victory, and just it just makes it worth it all one more time, just to be able to say one little thing to that it's just the Lord. So, anyways. I just like to have something on my heart tonight. This is going to have to be a series of some sort. Maybe it'll be, you know, a month or two from now, I'll start part two on it. But it's something I've had in my heart for since probably 2011. I don't know why it's making me emotional. But I just felt not to preach it. Like, I kept asking the Lord, and it was no. I have this for you, I have this for you, I have this for you. So again, it's a word fitly spoken. But it's in a very introductory, very simple way tonight, talking about the heart, the home, and the heritage of the Lord. And this is for us parents to hear, but it's also for the youth to hear how much the parents have a responsibility that when they're being old dad and old mom fuddy-dud and saying no to certain things, that they're protecting the heritage of the Lord, that they're doing everything they can to create a welcoming place for the Lord in the home, and not have unbelief and not have this world fight its way in. And so that's the thought tonight. If we could just go to the scripture, and I'll stand, Mark chapter 10. How's everyone tonight? Is everyone awake and doing well? Good, praise God. got a nap in today, but I'll try not to be long. And this is talking about the children there. And then we're going to go to verse 13. Jesus blesses the children, and they brought young children to him that he should touch them. And his disciples rebuked those that brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased. And he said unto them, suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. And he took them up in his arms, put his hands upon them, and blessed them. Let's go over to Matthew 18. Isn't that just a wonderful picture? Oh, what a wonderful picture. And then Matthew 18, then verse 10. It's interesting, you can see in your scripture in the Bible, the least is the greatest is the title of chapter 18. And I just want to showcase children tonight, especially. In verse 10, take heed that ye despise not one of these little ones. For I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. And we know, just such a mind-blowing thing, that offend. You remember what offend means, young people? Brother Don preached on this about 5 or 6 months ago, so you should have this fresh in your minds, what offend means. It means to trap. It means to actually trap, lay a trap for, is, believe it or not. And you'd say, well, how could that be? Well, we'll get into that a little bit. Let's actually go to Psalms 127. And this is how we read about God's property. And young people, you're reading about yourselves today as well as each one of us. And let's just read from verse 1, because this is a house of belief. This is a house of faith. This is such a picture that God wants for the house. Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his ways. For thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands. I'm sorry. I'm in Psalms 127. I jumped to 128. Excuse me. Verse 1. Thank you, Brother Don. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for he giveth his beloved sleep. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. Let's just ask the Lord's blessings on the reading of the word. Heavenly Father, please quicken this word and make it alive in our hearts, our minds, our homes, and our children. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen. You may be seated. Verse 4, as arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are the children of the youth. Just think, Christian, you are an arrow in the hand of your Father. He can send you out and say, Christian, you're my mighty arrow. Noah, you're your dad's mighty arrow. To think of that, you can take care of business. There's something seeming poetic about it, but there's a deeper meaning than we even know. Happy is a man that has his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. Another word we could say is shy. That you think about it, real men and real godly women are standing. I'm going to showcase godly women. How many of you ever read Crossing the Switchblade? Oh, Brother Greg. Isn't that a good one? Such a good one. David Wilkerson, going to the streets of New York. He turned off his TV and sold it, even though he didn't want to, and gave God a sign. He said, Lord, if you want me to do this, to give this up for 2 hours of prayer every day, would you have the phone ring in the next hour? And it was at 59 minutes, and the phone rang saying, I'll buy your TV. And he's like, oh, man. But from that, him pacing in his prayer closet, and then him coming across this article on Life magazine about the gangs of New York, and it so arrested his heart that he wanted to go there. And you see this in our home before we get to where I'm going, which is the speaking even our enemies in at the gate, is that he, by setting that aside in his home and saying, get that thing out of here, it's a big time waster, he all of a sudden got the mission. David Wilkerson, we would not even know who he was if it wasn't for his ministry to the gangs of New York. I mean, to think that here months later, at the end of, I'm not going to tell you the end. You're going to have to read the book. Sorry. Christian's shaking his head. He doesn't want to read the book. Have you read that book? Oh, you've seen the movie. Oh yeah. So you know that. So don't tell. Because there's so much that came out of that. So many people came to Christ through that. Wasn't that a good movie, Christian? It's like, just think someone set aside that in their home. And this is why I'm entitling it The Heart, the Home, the Heritage of the Lord, because it starts with us parents separating ourselves. Brother Brandon was talking about this, and he jumps right into the book of Genesis about separation unto the Lord right away. And I was thinking about how that, boy, I'm rabbit trailing. I apologize. I know it's Wednesday night, so please forgive me. But how that we're separated under something in our homes. We're either separated unto God or under our own agenda. And that's what busyness is. Separated unto the Lord is the Father's business. Separated unto what we want to do is our business. And hopefully it's not to the devil's business, but to think that we can every day separate ourselves into heavenly places, separate ourselves into that, that's eternal separation unto God versus unto man. But David Wilkerson, getting to my point about now he had a youth ministry on the streets in New York, and there's a young lady out there witnessing and inviting people to their meetings. And here comes a couple gang members, and they're like, you know, just catcalling her and whatnot, and oh wow, you're pretty and this and that, like, and they were trying to see what she was made of, and one of them pulls a knife on her. And just as this, children are of a heritage of the Lord, they shall not be ashamed, but they'll speak with the enemies in the gate. She said, I'd like to invite you to the meeting this weekend. And he just kept trying to taunt her, and she just said, God bless you, and just walked away. And you say, what in the world could make her do that? Is that she was more focused, her awareness, on the love for lost souls, and she was already made her peace with God in her heart and said, I don't care. I want to be here for lost souls. And she was with another sister, I think, too, as well. And that's why it's so important to be two by two, and especially with a brother. But in this case, somehow she got by herself in what you'd think was a bad spot. And here she said, God bless you. And she went on her way, and everything was fine. We know Gladys Aylward from her testimony how, you know, some man comes in her hotel room and she's like, there's a wall between me and you. You can't get at me. She's speaking with the enemies. That's the heritage of the Lord. We're just shy the rest of our days because we're girls. No, this is for the women of the Lord to do. We know in the Bible, there was a city that the woman was the one that said, hey, someone came and sought refuge in our city that you want. Well, what do you want? We'll negotiate. Oh, you want him? Okay, well, and she talked to the city and said, hey, we need to get him. And she stood and talked to the enemy at her gate. It wasn't her enemy, but she did the negotiation. So we say that it's okay to be godly and to stand for what's right as sisters. So we see that there's so much to the heritage of the Lord. Do you know what the heritage, actually, another word for it is property. You're God's property. And that's why you're not Satan's property. You're not even mom and dad's property, right? We're just caretakers, and we have to answer just as stewards. We're just stewards. You know, we're just property managers, if you will, and saying, Lord, these are your children. These are your property. This is your heritage. Lord, show us what we can do. I can send out the video, but there's this interview. This is really important, so pay attention. There's this interview by a man that worked for DreamWorks for family movies, right? DreamWorks is all these animated movies. He said for the last 10 years, they do something what's called, so there's teaching, and then there's what they call social engineering. And teaching is just like Psalms 19, where it says, this is what it is. Here's how we're going to teach you to adopt, you know, like to help you know it. And then social engineering is to say, we're going to teach you things and you won't know it. And so what they do is they said, I went into, there's actually a floor in DreamWorks called the heritage wing. So this is what they're all about. And he said, he talked to them and he said, hey, I'm seeing these family movies and they have these things that are offensive to Christians and to people of religious beliefs. And they said, can you show us? And he said, yeah. And he shows them the parts. And then he says, so how is that offensive? And they said, well, if you're using these terminology and these things in the scripture, Google it, look it up. So they Googled it. And you're thinking, oh, this is wonderful. They want to know. And he said, they said, thank you for showing us. It just shows that we're actually not deceptive enough. Because they're actually wanting to target groups. They have agendas. They have people that fund them for agendas. This is something, a creative person that worked for DreamWorks. He's saying, thank you for telling us. We want to know what you saw because you shouldn't be seeing that. You shouldn't be able to know that we're deceiving you. And so you say, and he said that he's seen this over the last 10 years. He says the LGBTQ agenda. He's seen the calling characters that would say, I'm a cat. They've been putting that in movies for the last 10 years. And he says, I've watched it over 10 years come to fruition. He says, 10 years ago, you wouldn't hear about any of this stuff. But and it's not us, it's Disney, it's all of them. They've been putting this in movies, social engineering, so that we're bombarded with this and we don't know we're being deceived. And you say, and he says, he'd come up to people that say, I don't think so. I don't believe it. And he'd say, is it really that bad? And he says, actually, when I actually researched it myself, it was way worse. So this is very sobering of a thing. This isn't just some conspiracy theory. This is someone that works in the thick of things as a creative engineer within a company that produces family films. That he said, what they'll do is they'll take someone like a figure that's a priestly looking person or a godly looking person. And they'll put them as a character in the film, and their mannerisms and everything is like a godly person would be. And then have them like take a hatchet and start getting violent or kill an animal. Because then it creates to children, oh, this, if I see this figure in life, in real life, I shouldn't trust that person. Then they would do the opposite. They would take someone, say you have a gay guy or you have a lesbian that they want to portray really good. They're the clever person. They're the ones that are always just really just got charisma, loves children, just really, really diplomatic and really friendly. And they make them the good guy so that they say, oh, this is the kind of person that I want to look up to. And again, I was seeing this back. I used to be a huge fan of Disney. I mean, I collected tons of Disney stuff growing up into teens. And I just loved the happy story, the opening sequence, everything about it was just this, oh, this is my comfort. This is my everything. And then I started seeing things and I'm like, they shouldn't put that in kids' movies. That's wrong. And then I started researching and hearing that, I was like, why would they do that to children's movies? That's wrong. They shouldn't be doing that to kids' movies. I didn't even think they would. So therefore, I was just like, well, my guard's down because they wouldn't do that to children's movies. But in the words of Bill Nye, the science guy, he says, we know you Christians aren't going to change, but at least give us your children. I can show you the video where he says that. He says, at least give us your children. So there's that spirit. Again, Satan walks about as a roaring lion seeking who he may devour. We have a worthy adversary. He's attacked us. He's attacking us. He will attack us. He's planning attacks. He's had thousands of years. He's not coming in to just try to be the big green globby and so we can see him. It's this, again, like that scripture that Brother Jason said is... that they lead in silly women creeping in. So the word creep actually means to move so slowly as almost imperceptible. And praise God, because it would deceive the elect if it were possible, right? So we praise God that this isn't something that we are, that we can be where we say, well, Lord, the Lord knows my heart. I don't know what to do. And I'd like to give you an analogy that came to me in 2011, and it's something very like unsettling. So again, we're going to go into the security we have in Christ and to see that it's the Lord building the house. It's the Lord keeping the house, but it's us letting it happen, right? Because we can prevent. Why else would he say, let them come unto us? The word let means to not forbid or prevent. So we can forbid. We're not going to go up to our child and say, Isabel, I forbid you to enter the kingdom of God. Or I prevent you. Today I'm going to prevent you, Timothy, from coming into the kingdom of God. But we could do that by saying we have a decision for a Friday night movie, or we have a Friday night this or Friday night, and we have free time with our family. Like, what are we going to build the heritage of the Lord? Are we going to build the heritage of some company that wants our children? It was really what it comes down to. And you could say, well, what are you going to watch then? If we're really affectionate towards something, that becomes our kingdom, right? And so it's this caught between part, but there is so much that we have, the riches of the kingdom, not just in the Word of God, not just in the sermons, but there's so much good, wonderful, wholesome things that we can bring into our home to build our children up through biographies, through wonderful true story documentaries, through nature documentaries, through faith films that are actual faith films and not fake faith films. There's so many things. I was so surprised because when I was faced with this, I thought, well, what am I going to watch? I love watching these movies. These are the best movies to watch. And it was this just letdown. And then all of a sudden I would find, like Kristen was saying, crossing the switchblade. And here I'm saying, this is real. I don't have to feel unsettled. When I was rebellious and sneaking stuff into the house when I was growing up, there was one time where I was just watching a PG-13 film. That night, and this has happened before, the Lord let me see in the other dimension of what I let in the house. And it was, I was fighting and things were right above my head. Everything was, I will not get into descriptives, but I was rebuking Satan in Jesus' name. And that was from a PG-13 comedy. And what I realized is that we have a yearning inside of us to establish altars in our home. We have altars, and altars are gateways and portals to invite a spirit. We know this from Gideon. Before deliverance could happen, what could he do? What did he have to do? The first thing. Young people, do you remember what he had to do before he could actually defeat the enemy? He had to snuck around at night, and he went and he got rid of his dad's TV. He got rid of his dad's altar. He broke down the groves. He broke down the idol, the idols. And here now that the people of the town want to kill Gideon. Why? Because here they're in, it's like a comedy. Have you ever read that scripture and realize it's kind of a comedy? Here are the Midianites. Every year, as soon as their crops are done, they take all their food. And they're under oppression. All they've got is TV. All they got is their gods. All they got is this comfort. And as soon as their comfort is taken away by one of their heritage, they're like, we got to kill him. He's taken away our one good thing that we got going on with all this bondage that we're under. And thank the Lord for the moxie that even his own father's grove. And yet he said, look what we're doing. He's like, we should read it. But for time's sake, is that he stood up for his son. You'd say, how can this be? These people were in the message. They had the light of the day. And yet they were in bondage, and you say, oh, it wasn't their fault. But look at their lives. They had altars to false idols in their midst. And so we say, if there's ever anything in the warning of things, is that the focus is on building the heritage of the Lord. But we can have altars. There's a woman that came out of the occult. I was watching her testimony, and the Lord showed her that she had altars in her house to invite evil spirits in. That it was literally, and there's actually things they put on their house, in their house, whether it's the books, they could be put things on the outside of the house as visuals to let in spirits as their welcome mats, their altars, their portals to say, evil spirits, you're welcome here. There's amulets. A lot of time, be careful with the jewelry that you wear. We're not going to get into this like really pharisaical, like jot and tittle thing on this, but you even be careful with the jewelry that you wear, because some jewelry is made by witches and wizards, and there's people will get sick because they don't realize they're wearing a satanic symbol. There's people that have gone into this, and they'll look when people need deliverance. They'll look at what they're wearing for jewelry, even, because sometimes that can come in. Things like dream catchers. Dream catchers invite evil spirits because it's a pagan thing. Dream catchers are superstitious. Anything that's superstitious, it doesn't keep bad luck away. It's a lie. We know that. It actually invites bad luck. And so that's why we know that these things are, it's because the devil's a liar, right? He's standing trying to get in. And we see this like going to the good thing. We know that Jesus said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice, we'll open the door, I'll come into him and sup with him, and he with me. And this gentleman of the Lord is just standing and knocking at our heart's door every day. And this house of belief, when we invite and welcome him in, you know, there's been times where, because the children have that same sensitivity, especially Levi, to where he's seen things in the supernatural, he'll rebuke the devil when he goes to sleep in his prayer. And I said, Levi, that's really good that you're doing that. But I said, if everything we do every day only welcomes Christ, we don't need to rebuke the devil out of our bedrooms or out of our home, because he's not there. But if we're doing things we shouldn't, we should just stop doing those things. It's like if we have a welcome mat outside the door that says, Satan, you're welcome, come in anytime. And then we go to bed and we say, just Lord, take out any evil spirits out of this house, whatever it is, because so I can get a good night's rest. Then we're kind of defeating the purpose of why wouldn't we just take away the welcome mats? So again, it's this keeping the heart, keeping the home, the heritage of the Lord. Oh my goodness, it's already 8:47. I'm glad I said this is going to have to be a series, maybe in a month or two. But we see, again, this is a alert because we are living in the last church age. Do we have any markers? Oh, here we go. We know that this is the last age, right? Oh, man. I don't have enough ink for the last age. It's not enough ink to make total darkness. We're going to have to make this really small. So we know that I need one of the crafty young ladies to be better at this than I am. So we know that, remember how it was so dark that you didn't even know. I mean, the Lord just allowed Brother Branham to put in a little speck to show that that's the bride, that's the last remnant, right? But he said he couldn't even see anything. And if you turn that upside down, it's an eyelid almost fully closed. On my old Mac, this was what sleep was. That was the symbol. If I wanted to click sleep and let the computer go to sleep, I would click that button. It was, and we live in the age where the whole world is asleep. And it's trying to normalize sleep. What is sleep is lack of spiritual awareness. So we know we have to be sober, be vigilant, right? Be vigilant. See, that was Brother Greg being vigilant with my pronunciation. But you notice he corrected me right away. And I actually did that on purpose, because how many of us wouldn't correct each other in vigilance if we were like, hey, me and my son are reading Dracula together. And we would go, well, God bless you, I'm going to go over here, right? Rather than saying like, no, we don't. We don't do that. Sorry, we don't do that. We're Christians. We would immediately just be like, oh, vigilant, right? Because it would just be this impulse of like, there's nothing wrong with my brother that he's reading Dracula. He just must have had a misstep, right? I think we take things so, oh, I hardly ever edify my brother, so I better not do it or really think about it and pray about it for 2 or 3 months and then not say something, or maybe say something. Or maybe I should text him, email him, Facebook him, voice message him. How can I do this in the right way? Versus just to be able to say, vigilant. And that we can be, because we all have an understanding that we have a right heart towards each other. We're not ever, any one of us is not coming against each other. Is that we need to have that value to be kind. Like Brother Branham said, we need to be kind to each other, frank, gentle, loving. And I love that he mixed that all in there, is that we need that honesty. I need you to be honest with me. I need it so much because I can't see. I can only be vigilant in a 180. And in spiritual, hopefully I can be, but I have blind spots. So I need your help. Will you help me? Are we committed to each other? I want to help you get to the promised land. I want to help you have the heritage of the Lord. Please help me. Like Brother Tim and Sister Carol would say, in Kenya, it doesn't take a family. It takes a village to raise a family. I say it takes a church. It takes all of us to raise our children. We need help. So to have that house of belief, to have that faith. That it's God's property. Our children are our property. So the word heritage, it means an inheritance. It means a portion, a share. Brother Brown says, "Endure to the heart. Satan, you're nothing but a deceiver. You have no legal rights to lay hold on any Christian any longer. In their prayer, they have confessed their sin. They are not your property anymore. What? So you're saying that if I'm sinning, I'm relinquishing the rights to my property. I'm saying that Satan, you can, I've heard this, that someone that came out of the occult, they said, if you go on the devil's property and start playing around in his world, don't be surprised if he comes around and starts playing in your world, on your property. And the thing is, sometimes I think we have, as parents, have secret battles that we go through, and we don't realize we're inviting in things, and we're battling things, and we're allowing things in, and our children don't know, but that's those spirits are still in the house, no matter if they know or not. So there is that, again, that sober, that vigilance. We've decided to follow Jesus. We're bought with a price. And I'm preaching to me most of all, we are bought with a price to say what we do every day is to give our all for him because we love him so much. Because we're bought with not just a price, but with his blood, with what all that he did. He gave his all for us. Why would we want to live separated unto him? They are God's property, Jehovah. He sent his son who died, yea, he rose again, and he is here right now to prove himself to his children, his heritage, that he is alive. And you can't hold them any longer. I adjure thee, thou devil of doubt that's holding these people, I adjure thee in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, that you come out of these people and let them go. So this is God's heritage. Our children are his heritage. And we know that the agenda of Satan is to normalize our home as being separated from God and his presence. That if we go to bed and we don't feel the presence of the Lord in our house, he's won. Because we know that what is death, the power of Satan, he starts with unbelief. And then it ultimately leads to death, which is what? Eternal separation. From what? The presence of God. So just like we want to be seated in heavenly places every day to eventually be with him eternally, we don't want to be every day separated by our choices away from God in his presence. Every conversation, every thing that we do and say, to be bringing the Lord and his presence, inhabiting our conversation, inhabiting. And of course, we think of this mechanically and saying, well, God willing this and God willing that, and well, bless you, brother, and this and that. And it becomes this Pharisaical thing, right? Because we're not, but when we love mentioning his name, just like you just saw that testimony at the beginning, is that when we talk about what we love, like we've heard so many times, we need to get into finding that joy, filling that thirst. Just like Brother Brown preached so many times, we need to be listening to that sermon. I need to be listening to that sermon once a week, thirsting for life. How he says, how dare we as Christians take that thirst and fill it with something else other than the Lord? And you could say, well, that's what the world is doing there. I mean, it's like there's a lot of stuff we got to look at, and I just fill up my mind with just the garbage prattle of this talk show, that talk show, this fun fact, that fun fact, and it's separating me from the presence of God, from having my mind filled with God. It's just prattle. It's complete. It's purposeless. And again, it's that whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are lovely and a good report. It's keeping our mind and our hearts that peace of God, right? When our minds are stayed on him because we trust him. Amen. That is a good stopping point, again, for us to examine our lives, to say we're parents as a team, to be able to and husbands, at the buck stops with us, right? No matter if it's we're the popular guy or not, no matter if our family even wants to do it or not, is that for us to say, here's the way, walk therein. That might be the easiest. That might be the hardest thing that we can ever do when establishing our altar to the Lord, is saying, this is, as for me and my house, we will believe the Lord and just play music in the background. No, we will serve the Lord. We will dish up the Lord to our children every day in devotions every day. We will, as Brother Don was reminding me of that scripture, that tradition is also good, is that it's the passing on of something. Are we passing on the Lord? Are we passing on family traditions? What are we passing on to our children? Amen. Let's, as musicians would come, I hope this is a blessing tonight. I hope it was something that provokes more vigilance, more alertness of there is so much intel, AI, whether it be our phones watching us, listening to our conversations, everything we know that's already happening. And they're trying to figure out how to do two things, is to get us to pay attention to what they want us to pay attention to and to change our values by 1%. And we know that Brother Branham preached, praise God that he preached, all it takes is to have one word off. One word off. Lord, help us. But again, unless the Lord builds a house, let's let the Lord build the house in us, in our hearts, and that will reflect in our homes. Amen. Could we sing that song? Do you know that song? I Need More of You. That's the way it's got to be. I need more of you. And see. I need more, a walk down of you. That's the way it's got to be. That's the way it's got to be. I need more. I need more of you. Till there's no more left of me. Till there is no more left of me. And then an F, all those wasted hours. All those wasted hours and minutes. Again, they're all yours. From the start to the finish, I need more of you in me. Let's just sing one more time. Let's just stand. I want more. I want more of you. That's the way it's got to be. And that's the way it's got to be. Oh, I want more of you. Till there's just no more of me. Till there's just no more of me. All those wasted hours and minutes. All those wasted hours and minutes. They're all yours. They're all yours. From the start to the finish. Start to the finish. I want more of you in me. Amen. Let's just bow our heads this evening. Heavenly Father, how many hours and minutes I have wasted, Lord. And my phone even actually keeps track. What a favor they did, Lord, by putting that in there so I can even know how much time I wasted. Oh, Lord, help us, Father, to be redeeming the time for the days are evil, for to let you through us do what you want to do, for building the heritage of the Lord in our home. Lord, it may seem so little. We say, what can I do? How can I change everything around? It's too late. It's there's so much now that I have to go back and do. And yet, to not despise the day of small things. One yes to you, Lord, every day in our lives. One yes, putting you first. That first thing, that first yes, that dying daily to our self-pleasure, that religion of, is it fun? That's what I want to do. Rather than, is it faith? Is it of the household of faith? Oh, Lord, may our homes be faith-based, Lord, not fun-based. Lord, help us, Lord, to keep our hearts and minds, Lord, built upon you, Lord. Please help us, Lord, we pray. We just thank you, Father, that you just put it on my heart, Lord, to, again, tell us, Lord, it is high time for us to wake out of sleep, Lord, that the enemy is just putting over us over and over again, Lord. We're fighting. Each parent here is fighting so hard. They're doing everything that they can. They know to do, Lord. And yet, Lord, here comes the enemy, Lord, again, to try to come in like a flood, Lord. Please, Father, help us to not weary in well-doing, Lord, for we shall reap, Lord, this heritage of the Lord in our children. Lord, and we claim each one of our children for you, Lord, for your kingdom, Lord, because they're your property. They're not our property, Lord. And we just rebuke Satan where he's come against our property. And Satan, you get off God's property. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we adjure you. You take your hands off of God's property in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and off of the minds of our children that you tried to have dominion over them. You've tried to come in and have bad attitudes or whatever it may be, or depression or thoughts of suicide or whatever it may be. We rebuke you and we adjure you and we bind you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Heavenly Father, please, oh God, take us, Lord, and build the church of God, Lord. Build the body of Christ, Lord. Please, Lord, may we not focus on just eradicating the devil, Lord, out of our house, Lord. Because then it's just a house swept clean, Father. Please take us and teach us, Lord, to establish our altars, Lord. And altars once established, Lord, to how to serve you to our children, Lord, to give them the greatest gift every day, Lord, by breaking open the word to them, Lord, by showing them the mighty men of David, Lord, by showing them the mighty women in the Bible, Lord. Lord, that they can pattern their lives after, Lord, versus the princes and princesses of this false kingdom, Lord, of so many false narratives, Lord. Please, Father, we just commit this service in your hands now in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Can we sing that song, Seek Ye First, the Kingdom of God, before we dismiss?
Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Is every heart clear tonight? I know we have many burdens, whether it's for our friends or our family. My heart is just so full of love for each one of you, and I just feel so much that even though it's a Wednesday night, just to linger a little bit in his presence to make sure everyone's heart is clear. If someone needs this time to pray, please, to get anything settled, take that time. I know I need to. Brother Don, would you mind just closing us in a word of prayer tonight?
Heavenly Father, we need our minds and our hearts cleared by your Holy Spirit.
Yes, Lord.
The clutter of the spirits of this world, and things that so easily beset us. spare us.
Yes, oh God.
That we would not be resistant to you.
Yes, oh God.
Mary and I need help even tonight as we go home. Her nephew's there, and we need you to shine through us, Lord. We need
yes,
your
oh
wisdom.
God. Please, Father.
We need
help
your
them,
Holy
God.
Spirit.
Yes, Lord.
May he see you through
yes,
us.
Yes, oh God, please, Father, do.
May he hear you through us. If there's any way to touch that soul, Lord, please.
Yes, Father.
To you. As we go in our ways, and as Brother Branham told us, even warned us, you're the only Bible some people will ever read. Let us be very conscious of that, Lord, and so filled with you that we're ready to give an answer always for the hope that lies in us. Build us up, Father.
Yes, Father.
In the most holy faith. We commit ourselves into you hands in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. I just want to say lastly to encourage your hearts today, because I know it was a little heavy, is that I love to see the standard of the Lord in each one of you, that just as you yield to him, it's this fight that we're fighting is not an easy one. It's not for the faint of heart. I just love and appreciate it, the testimony that I see in each one of you as you fight this walk. It's, again, us just continuing to be vigilant, to keep searching our hearts and our homes, to look and live. God bless you, each one.